Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, breaking down these first two games of the Philadelphia Phillies series where the results have been pretty much the same as when Bud Black was the manager of this team. Rockies fall to 8-40, worst start in the majors since 1901, on pace for 136 losses at this point. They've also scored three or less runs in 33 of 48 games. Tuesday, they were actually able to get that fourth run across home plate with a little bit of a late surge in the ninth inning, but still not a very close game with the 7-4 loss, second in a row to the Phillies, third in a row overall. And the fact that the Rockies have struggled to score runs, not just when Antonio Senzatella has pitched, I believe now in his 10 starts, has only received 11 runs of support. It's troubling because the 33 games of three or less runs in 48 contests puts them on pace for 111 games of three or less runs. The franchise low is 81. They're on pace for 111. In the live ball era, that's since 1920, only the Houston Colt 45s in 1963 ever did that more times, 112. So they are on a real rough pace as far as that's concerned. I think they will snap out of that. Will they set a new franchise record in having maybe 82 or more games where they score three or less runs? That's possible, but this is one of those records I don't think they're going to come anywhere close to, especially as you've seen how much better the offense has clicked with a healthy Ezekiel Tovar and now Brenton Doyle batting fifth in the lineup, and he is now starting to heat up. So those things are positive. I think they'll end up correcting that. And you can score plenty of runs nowadays, even if you are striking out a ton, which the Rockies still are. I believe they're at 473 over the first 48 games. That's 17th most in the history of baseball through 48 games to begin a season. So it's a little bit better since when they were, you know, first overall. They're slowly dropping lower and lower on the list. So that is somewhat promising. You didn't like to see all the base hits by the Phillies, just paper cuts left and right, so to speak. 17 hits in consecutive games the Rockies have allowed. They haven't done that since 2016. How about that one? Phillies are now 19-6 against the Rockies dating back to 2022. 6-5 in Denver. So they, coming into this series, Rockies had a winning record. I would not have guessed that. But in Philadelphia, Colorado is 13-1. Senzatella was fine in this game. Six innings pitched, four runs. I mean, that's actually quite a good start at Coors Field. He did allow 10 hits. He did that earlier in the season against Philly as well. Senzatella has now allowed 84 hits on the season, the most in the majors and the most in franchise history through a starter's first 10 games of the year. Seven pitches into the game, Phillies were up 2-0, and the Rockies had lost their challenge. Not really sure why they checked that play at second base with Bryce Harper, because it was pretty close. It did, you know, it's one of those plays where if it gets ruled an out and the Phillies would try to overturn it, it would probably also would have stayed whatever the call was on the field. I don't know if there's any way to even study something like that, but there's been a lot of those plays. The Rockies lost their challenge on Monday in a similar fashion, where if it would have been the opposite call, it still would not have been overturned. So it's just inconclusive. I you know, the numbers are way better than, you know, 50-50, or rather the odds are 50-50 that you get a call overturned, but it's almost as if, you know, a third of the time it's an obvious miss going safe, and then a third of the time it's an obvious miss that it was an out and it needs to be flip-flop, and then the other one third is, hey, it's just inconclusive. So that was kind of a rough way to get things going just a little bit for the Rockies. One of the brighter spots was Tyler Freeman in right field. He did get three hits on Tuesday, his first extra base hit of the season with that double in the seventh inning. And he's been in right field the past two games. Now, his history is as a middle infielder who transitioned to center field with Cleveland. But I spoke with him on Monday, said he was feeling good. And yeah, by all accounts, playing center field is a lot easier than the corners because the ball just moves a lot different. The ball in center field, it's coming straight at you. There's not quite as much movement. And when you look at Coors Field and what they've got in right field with that auxiliary scoreboard, there's all kinds of different textures and different ways that the balls can move. He had trouble with a ball in the corner on Monday that would have been an inside the park home run. It was a triple. That he misplayed on Tuesday. It would have been inside the park home run for Trey Turner. I've never seen a ground rule double where the ball bounces basically on the line. It was actually a little bit on the inside, but it bounced on the line and then went into foul territory to the right of the right field foul pole. So in a way, Rockies caught a break there. You also had in this game Adiel Amador with a nice defensive play right after Ezekiel Tovar had a good defensive play. So that was positive. But Amador with his first base hit with a runner in scoring position, I believe he's now 1-for-14 on the year. And so that is a positive. And I say it like that because Warren Schaefer is a positive guy. In talking with him on Monday, he, you know, post-game very much wants to focus on certain things that he can build momentum upon, taking the extra 90 feet, making sure the opposing team doesn't do that. Various little things and little pieces of positivity that he wants to focus on to try to build some of these guys back up. I have an article that might even be released by the time you listen to this on Wednesday, but it's all about his managerial style. You can check that out at justbaseball.com. And, you know, he really wants to mix and match a lot. He likes the matchups, and it's one of the reasons why you didn't see Ryan McMahon starting at third base on Tuesday was because lefty Jesus Luzardo was on the mound. Now, McMahon does hit well against lefties, but if you're going to look for an opportunity to give him some time off of his feet, this would be one of those. Aaron Shunk just came off the IL. This was really his first opportunity to get some playing time. So Schaefer really wants to spread the at-bats around, spread the playing time around. And he said, you know, you look around the league, and all of the best teams are getting all of their players in on the action. And that's absolutely right, particularly the Dodgers, where there's all kinds of mixing and matching going on. And there's, you know, there's guys who don't start the game who come in the sixth. And, you know, my first thought is like, oh, well, that's a shame that this guy didn't get a day off that, you know, he was planning on. And now all of a sudden he's in the game. No, that was the game plan all along. And that's something that winning teams do. Schaefer has identified that, and he wants to, you know, bring that philosophy, that theology to the Rockies. And you're seeing some of those moves late in the game. Mickey Moniak with an RBI in the ninth inning coming off the bench. So he's keeping these guys a little bit more active, keeping them a little bit sharp, trying to keep away the various slumps that do come because, hey, you're getting a better pitching matchup, and we're now hiding you from a matchup that doesn't favor you. So those have been some of the positives that, again, despite being positive, has not translated in the win column just yet. Jesus Luzardo, I mean, this guy has just been fantastic. He lowers his ERA to 1.95. Even third time through the lineup, Rockies couldn't touch him. And the Rockies, look, going back to what I said about Ryan McMahon getting the day off, there might be a couple more of those this week because I think there's like five lefty starters in a seven-day span that the Rockies have to contend with. Carlos Rodon and Max Fried are lining up this weekend for the Yankees. So it's been rough, but Luzardo has been, right now, if you're saying who's the Cy Young Award winner in the National League, it's Jesus Luzardo, his second straight quality start and sixth of the year. Overall, he's now the eighth Philly to have a sub 2 ERA through his first 10 starts since 1912. So he was fantastic. Three walks, but the 10 strikeouts. One of the things we saw at the middle point of the game was Ryan Rolison making his Coors Field debut, threw a ball into right field. There's been a lot of those this year, a lot more than normal, of plays where you see an E1 and the pitcher throws the ball in the right field. Or in the case of Monday's game, Jake Bird missed an opportunity at a double play and sailed the ball glove side the right field side, if you will, to second base, glove side of Adiel Amador. Agnos, I think, had one. So there's really been a lot. I don't know if this is just something new across baseball or that's something that's been specifically afflicting the Rockies, but they've definitely been hurt by that in a big way. Monday was a 9-3 loss where the Rockies led 3-1 relatively late into the game. Kyle Freeland was really solid, and it was a shame because that on Monday's loss, after, as I said, leading for most of the game, was their 13th blown lead loss of the year. Only the Pirates, who have 15, have more in the National League right now. You might be interested to know that Schaefer joins Jim Leland as the only Rockies managers to lose in their Denver debut. But as I said, Freeland was solid. You know, he went out there in the sixth inning. That was one of the questions I had for Schaefer because Buddy typically doesn't like his relievers. He previously didn't like the relievers coming in with guys on base in a more pressure and jam-packed situation. But Freeland went out there for the sixth. Second hitter ended up getting on, and Schaefer made that move. But Freeland, 5 1/3 innings pitched, 7 hits, only 1 run allowed, walked 2, struck out 6, has allowed 4 earned runs over 11 1/3 innings pitched through his last 2 starts. That's a 3.18 ERA. That's a positive thing since that really rough start against Detroit back in the previous homestand. His 6 strikeouts were the most since fanning 7 on opening day in Tampa Bay. Has now walked 2 or fewer batters in every start this season. He has a 1.78 walk per 9. That's the 6th best among qualified NL pitchers at going into Tuesday. So really solid. We saw Ezekiel Tovar homer in consecutive games. He sat out Sunday, but if you remember, he homered in that crazy 14-12 victory in Arizona. Well, he homered in his first at-bat on Monday. Ended up hitting the mitt. Nice little donation there for that one. Third time in Tovar's career that he's homered in consecutive games. Was 7-for-10 going into Tuesday with a triple, 2 homers, and 4 RBI. So a real positive stuff coming out of Ezekiel Tovar. You saw the defense a little bit too. And also, if you're watching Monday night, you know that we finally got that matchup we were all waiting for. Bryce versus Bird. Now, if you don't remember, this was back in 2023. I've talked about this a little bit. I actually wrote an article that somewhat references this in terms of Jake Bird, who's been fantastic and is arguably the Rockies' all-star this season. But back in 2023, Bird came off the mound very jubilant, very excited, as he often does, and the Phillies just were not used to that. And Bryce Harper took serious offense to it. Benches were cleared, and Harper said, "You, all of you, you're a loser effing organization," and just went atomic bomb on the entire Rockies organization. He wasn't wrong about the organization, that's for sure, since then. So that made Jake Bird a little bit more high profile. We didn't get the matchup last year, but we did get it this year. Bird got behind 2-0. He got 2 strikes, then a foul ball. Pitch 6 was a sacrifice fly, RBI, unearned run. Weird that it was an unearned run because the reason that the runner was on third base and the sacrifice fly allowed him to score was because Jake Bird made that error. That's one of those scorekeeping rules that seems strange. He threw the ball into the outfield in a nice 1-4-3 double play. And despite the fact that he was the one who made the error, it's still an unearned run on the pitcher. Strange thing. I honestly, it's not anything major that I'm going to debate you on. Just one of those strange things. So Bird got the sacrifice fly. Then he got Schwarber to hit into an inning double play on the very next pitch. So that was a strong, positive outing for Jake Bird. Harper on Tuesday went 3-for-5. He's now slashing .351, .426 with a .622 slug, 16 doubles, 8 homers, 30 RBI, and 38 career games at Coors Field. Incredible. First ballot Hall of Famer, zero doubt. And then Kyle Schwarber, who's a guy that, man, I tell you, as each and every year that goes by, the case for Kyle Schwarber as a Hall of Famer gets better and better. Do I really think he's there yet? No, I don't. But reaching 300 home runs, and I forget what the statistic was I saw, doing it in maybe fewer at-bats or fewer games than, you know, most of the slugging greats. So he's got a long way to go, but this dude is not slowing down. And every team he plays for is a winning club. If you've been listening to me for years, and you listened to me back when I had Drew Goodman on my show each and every week, that 2021-2022 offseason, the guy that Goodman kept saying would be great in Denver, I don't know that he would have turned things around. I do know the Rockies probably would not have lost 100 games the last 2 years, but the guy that Drew Goodman said he wanted and he thought would be a great fit at Coors Field and for the Rockies was Kyle Schwarber. And Phillies got him. Rockies ended up getting Chris Bryant. And Phillies got Schwarber and Castellanos for a combined $180 million. Now, Castellanos hasn't really lived up to his contract, but Phillies paid $180 for two guys over a 4 or 5 year period. And Rockies, no, $182 for one guy in Chris Bryant over 7 years. So, again, some teams are playing chess, others are playing checkers. But Schwarber, man, third deck shot that left everybody's mouth agape in the press box. It looked like the ball wasn't even coming down yet. I think it was 465 feet, and it seemed like it probably should have been a lot more than that. He homered again on Tuesday. 9 of his 17 home runs tied for the MLB lead as of the time of that 17th home run, tied Ohtani. 9 of his 17 homers have come off left-handers. Scott Alexander on Monday, Ryan Rolson on Tuesday. It was 466. I was going from memory. Didn't think I had it in my notes. No, I definitely did have it in my notes. Two more against the Phillies Wednesday night. It's going to be Carson Palmquist's Coors Field debut. Got to head over to the YouTube channel so you can listen to Palmquist talking about what his first game and first week in the majors has been like, along with the funny story about how he finally got the call up. Like, what did his manager Pedro Lopez do to mess with him just a little bit? Carson Palmquist starts against Taiwan Walker and his 2.62 ERA. Sheesh. And then Thursday, another lefty for the Rockies to face. It's Ranger Suarez against Herman Marquez, a 110 businessman special, business person special. That used to be an old Phillies thing that they would do. If you're following me on social media, you know that I mentioned Nick Mears has been pretty darn good this season. He was solid for the Brewers once he went over. It was nice catching up with him when the Brewers were in town, and told me a couple of things off the record about how much different the Brewers do things than what the Rockies do. And going into Monday night, Nick Mears had a 0.51 ERA in 19 games with a ridiculous 8.19 ERA plus. I don't think I've ever seen an ERA plus that good in 19 games. I haven't seen that in like 5 games. That's just crazy. He was charged with an earned run on Monday. So now he has a paltry 4.19 ERA plus. Crazy. Some minor league news. I wanted this to be a short one, and it will be, but I want it even shorter, but I can't shut up. I've got stuff to talk about. Minor league report. Congrats to Ryan Ritter, the Pacific Coast League Player of the Week. He has been really solid. He is one of those next players that you're very well likely to see in the majors, probably at second base, probably when it comes time for Adiel Amador to maybe get more regular at-bats. It's going to be hard, honestly, for Ritter to get that opportunity over Amador. If second base is wide open, then you know I think you could see a point in which Ritter is given a little bit of an opportunity at the big league level over Amador. But right now, Amador on the roster, playing regularly. He's on the 40-man roster as well. And the only reason Amador would not be playing second base would be because Tyro Estrada is back from his wrist injury. And that could be happening in the next couple weeks. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But Ryan Ritter, 455 batting average, a 955 slug. That's insane. Last week, that's why he's the Pacific Coast League Player of the Week. 4 doubles, 3 triples, 1 homer, 9 RBI over his last 5 games. Incredible. In May, he's still hit batting 313 with a 750 slug. So this has long been a guy that I think has not really gotten enough attention and enough love in the Rockies system. So I think there's a decent shot he gets an opportunity in the second half this season. I should also note Warming Burnabell for the Isotopes in his last six games is hitting just under 400 and is doing some serious damage against left-handed pitching, 382 on the season. So he also could be one of those players you see late in the season. And finally, veteran reliever Diego Castillo, not allowed a run in 12 of his 16 outings, 312 ERA. Rockies still have a lot of young arms right now in AAA, so I don't know that Diego Castillo is necessarily going to get that opportunity, but should there be some injuries, that's a real quality veteran arm to call up. Good news for Charlie Condon. He was promoted to High A Spokane. Didn't play on Tuesday night, which was rather strange, but and I shouldn't even say promoted because really it was just that his rehab assignment for that left wrist fracture had ended, and now he's ready to start his 2025 regular season in 9 games in the Arizona Complex League. He had a .296 batting average, good on-base percentage, good slug. Arizona Complex League, if you don't know, it's essentially beneath low A, and it is played at all the spring training facilities, so like at Salt River Fields. What I don't know is whether or not they play those games inside the stadium or if they go on the backfields, because it's such a it's just not a real league in, you know, having promotions. And so it's a special night and they're going to wear this jersey. This is just a league for guys to get reps and something that Major League Baseball did in transition to when they decided to shrink down the minor leagues from 160 teams to 120 teams. So save them a little bit of money. They paid the players more, but because they got rid of all those teams, they ended up saving money by doing that. So Charlie Condon looking to get back in action and getting back on track in 2025. Another nice little promotion was Wellington Herrera, a.k.a. Beef. I don't know if that's his official nickname. I think the Yard Goats did tweet something out about that. But not Wellington, it's Wellington. You saw him in the spring breakout game, and he was a guy that was very high on my preseason prospect list. He gets promoted to double A after a ridiculous 0.49 ERA in a California league leading 10 saves in 11 opportunities, struck out 29 batters, walked 6, and had a whip of just 0.76. So this is one of their great young arms in the bullpen, lefty, who, you know, does need to be added to the 40-man roster by December. So because of that, and because of, you know, the way the Rockies have promoted some of their younger players aggressively who need to get protected, hey, let's get them some big league experience. I think that Herrera will make his big league debut later on this season. And if you're curious, where do the Rockies rank in terms of their minor league records, their organizational record? Well, entering this week, Rockies right in the middle at number 15, 488 winning percentage. Top three, Milwaukee. Number two, Detroit. And number one, the Los Angeles Dodgers with a 592 winning percentage, 103-71. Win-loss record is not that critical in terms of knowing how good your farm system is because it's winning games, not developing talent. You could arguably put together a team that could win the Low A California League made up entirely of guys who are not even top 20 prospects on any given team. They're just gamers and they're producing, but they've got holes, they've got flaws, they know how to work around it. They are professional ball players that can take advantage of certain younger players in Low A, but they've got these holes and flaws that look essentially unsurmountable. And once they get to High A, and certainly when they get to Double A, they are going to get exposed. And so they are not great prospects. It's one of the reasons why, you know, you have to be careful with falling in love with prospects, because if it's in Low A or High A, they still have a whole other world to jump to. And if they are a very low round pick, or they weren't even drafted at all, that kind of is, you know, that sometimes can be an indicator that, you know, there have been flaws with this player in the past. Maybe they've worked around it a little bit, or maybe they are totally, they've got their odometer totally pinned and they are playing over their head a little bit. Props to them. Good for them. They deserve to continue to get opportunities and playing time, but there's simply a reason why they either didn't get drafted or they didn't go higher. And there's a reason why when you look around at the true professionals that rank prospects, this player is not found despite the fact that they have good numbers. They're doing it at low A, they're doing it at high A, and it's really not relevant until these players get to double A and up. And that is just the hard truth of minor leagues and prospects. If you're curious about other hard truths of baseball, my DMs are wide open at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB. Go over to the Rockies Insider YouTube channel for all kinds of exclusive stuff inside Coors Field. I will take you in there with pregame, postgame, player interviews, coaches, managerial interviews, all that and more. The podcast, too, if you want the visual of what I got going on. Got to make sure you head over there and do that. Thanks for dropping by, giving me momentum to listen to this audio-only podcast. But unfortunately, that momentum, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you then.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.